We want to welcome to our airwaves now, Honored Bay Udzwe. I mean, Baynard Woods.
Hey there, Mark.
City Paper. How are you, man?
Doing great.
So we knew that you were doing this week's edition was focusing on the decriminalization, the changing of marijuana laws in the state of Maryland, which is the theme for the first part of our show. But you decided to take a slightly different look at what this might mean.
Yeah, I mean, we took a serious look. Van went through and looked at all of the marijuana legislation, the ones that won, the decriminalization and the reform of the medical. But he looked at some of the losers and ideas, the legislation that failed, that didn't pass the House, is dealing with marijuana. But then we took a broad approach, looking at the way people that we know in Baltimore actually feel and feel about and use marijuana. So we had a manifesto from a mom talking about how she deals with it, having been a user herself, how she deals with her teenage son using. We had all kinds of music stuff that we put with this, a mix of Baltimore club songs that all deal with weed that DJ James Nasty live mixed together for us. We had Baltimore's biggest hits, 10 artists that supplement or might help out the kind of mental state that marijuana would provide. And then putting the high and high art where we go to, we look at things in the museums that might appeal to the person who maybe newly liberated by the decriminalization in October would feel that they could go and experience the kind of expanded horizon that marijuana may provide at the Walters or the BMA.
I mean, I think that, that the people have probably been smoking marijuana and enjoying art and movies for many generations.
Yeah, exactly. And now they may be free to without having to worry about, without getting paranoid about someone coming up and throwing them in jail and ruining their life. They may get a ticket. So they'd have a little bit of paranoia, like when you're speeding, but not the chance of having your life ruined for deciding to do something with your own body and your own consciousness that wouldn't have any effect on anyone else.
So, tongue in cheek, but in kind of all seriousness, it kind of deserves that in some ways. Kind of looking at it's a comedic look at the reality of life, because marijuana use in Baltimore, I don't know if it's a majority of people. Clearly, I would imagine it's a huge number, if not a plurality of people in this city.
Yeah,
have used, do use. Or may use occasionally.
Yeah, we notice walking down the street, you're always getting a little whiff of something that you talk to people and you find out just how widespread it really is, and the majority of people who actually feel that it should be decriminalized. So we took Mencken with alcohol as our approach. Not only did Mencken really advocate that in political ways that prohibition was a stupid idea, but he also had the beer club in his house and talked openly about his using of beer. And so we kind of took, and obviously, and with Mencken's humor, and so we sort of took that as the model for this issue.
So, and I do appreciate this fellow who did the art museum look. I thought that was good.
Right, and you know, we also did a little bit of playing with bylines and Pig Latin just to make some, as you alluded to at first, just to make it a little bit of another sort of satirical approach at the way that people have for so long felt a need to hide things like this. But for the sake of journalism, we were willing to engage in things that we may not otherwise engage in.
And you have this, is this for real? I remember you've done this before, I think, for different things. The scratch and sniff product reviews?
No, the scratch and sniff part is a joke. We hoped we could go around the town and see people sticking the paper up to their nose or something. But there are real product reviews of, we tried to find, as Spike magazine did for a while with things, but we tried to find what sort of weed was going around Baltimore right now and give an honest effect, an honest take of how it would affect people. So instead of the kinds of things that reviews would normally have, the sort of things that we have are the level of existential dread versus the level of euphoria that one might feel from it, how likely you would be to freak out if a crazy person approaches you on the street when you have used it.
So tell me, what's in this issue besides marijuana?
So, yeah, we've got a lot of other really great stuff in this issue. This history of the banjo, Jeffrey Himes did a piece on this on the exhibition at the BMI. And, I mean, it's amazing that you go to this exhibition and you see how much the production of the banjo is centered in Baltimore and how much of that, in fact, was on Baltimore Street, interspersed with all of the vaudeville houses that you had. And that's really where the banjo, as we know it, it's not a gourd instrument, but it's an instrument with the uniform round hoop, was really not invented, but formalized here and made
Baltimore.
Into that form.
What was the company?
There were like dozens of companies, actually. It's amazing that there were something like, I forget the number, but there were dozens of manufacturers in Baltimore. There, one was Levi Brown was one of the, and then Boucher was another one. But there were tons of manufacturers of banjos right here in Baltimore. And that's something that the BMI really uncovered that I've never seen anywhere else. And it's really an amazing story.
That is amazing. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We have a cool review of the band Proto Martyr, who's going to be in town tomorrow night. And they're a Detroit band, and they deal with, their lyrics deal a lot with things that people in you know, as Brett McCabe writes in the piece, that in a city that gets dubbed Bodymore Murderland, that people can deal with. They address the stereotypes that people have of Detroit as a post-industrial city, and on both sides, the one, the creative class playground, they really strike against, and on the other hand, the oh, you'll get shot in the face if you come here. And they do it to really spectacular post-punk sort of riffs with story lyrics and really a great band that I'm looking forward to going to see.
I've never heard of this band, but I'm sure it's good. And you seem to like them.
Yeah. I've been really excited by listening to their record. And also for Record Store Day, Robert Trujillo of Suicidal Tendencies and Metallica is coming here to promote a new film that he's making about Jaco Pastorius, the great bass player. So he's not going to be playing here, but he's going to be talking at Soundgarden about the legacy of Pastorius, which should be really fascinating as well.
This is a great issue. I'm going to pick this issue up as I do all the issues, and I encourage everybody to do so.
Yeah, and check out the cover and sort of full-on Arkham, stoner maximalist to the max style. Done by Charlie Herrick over at the paper, and it's a great cover, one that I'm really proud of.
I want to see. Is that the paper's guide to high life? A different cover.
Yeah, so that's, we call the issue City Paper's Guide to the High Life.
Well, this. Well, I want to tell you very much. I look forward to this, Maynard, and I'm going to grab this issue as soon as we get out of here. And I encourage folks to get to their boxes across the city, open that little door, and pull out the city paper and enjoy. And scratch and sniff whatever else you want to do with this week's edition. Brandon Wood, senior editor of the City Paper, thank you so much.
All right, look forward to the rest of your conversation, Mark.
Thanks. Take care, brother. Good to talk to you.
All right.
We'll be right back talking about legalization of marijuana and going to start first with analysis of what happened in the session.